This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
No, Sheikh. I'm reading this book on history of the Mahdi of Sudan. And it just came into my mind that why do people revolt? You know, why are the movements, revolutions happening? Yeah? I think it's predominantly because leaders and the people in charge, they don't give the rights, they don't give the dues to the people.
Yeah.
They get ferments that antagonism amongst people. And then it made me think of this beautiful story. It's a funny story, not true, but it's a nice anecdote for this topic. Yeah. So this is a guy, he was a builder, construction guy. Really, really talented. He used to make loads of houses and so forth, very beautifully. He was sought after. Star employee of this construction firm. And so he's come to his retirement time, and his retirement time basically, so he wants to put his feet up now. He's done 50 years of this work, and he wants to now go put his feet up and rest. But the manager says to him, look, before you go, I want you to build one more house.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, no problems. Mm. He goes ahead and builds a house, but the problem with building the house, he said, his mind was somewhere else. And then and half-heartedly said, all right, he cut corners.
Okay.
Throughout, he cut corners. And then he said to the manager, I've done my job. Can I be relieved? Go to my retirement. And the manager said, no problems. Thank you very much for your service. And I've got a gift for you. And then he handed him the keys to the house that he just
made. Deficient one, that is. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He tried to deprive someone from their dues. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived him from what should have been his.
Exactly.
Allahu Akbar. Well, I mean, this is a Quranic principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Don't deprive people from their dues. And it was repeated in no less than three places in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And interestingly, all three of those places appeared in the context of the Prophet of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salam. Madian, Prophet Shu'aib's community, when they started to experience several forms of degeneracy, one of which was financial, Shu'aib was sent to them and he began to advise them. Allah said, وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And to Madian was their brother Shu'aib. He said, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no God other than him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord, he said. So give full measure and weight, and do not deprive people their dues. And don't cause corruption upon the earth after its reformation. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That is better for you if you should be believers. So that's what he said to his people. Now, the prohibition of depriving people of their dues is not exclusive to the people of Madian. This is a limitless and universal principle of Islam. Dues, they're either material, like property, land, cars, cash, or dues can be immaterial, like respect, that's a due, authority, praise, kind treatment. In both cases, dues are to be given in full. Now, whilst bearing in mind that the people of Madian were eradicated for reasons which included the abuse of this principle, I want to share with you a few common examples of this principle in action. One of them is depriving an adversary, an enemy, from his dues. So we may be at odds with another, but it remains, however, that reacting in an excessive way by, for example, spreading misinformation about them, labeling them in a derogatory manner, or something to that effect, that's an injustice, which conflicts with the principle of do not deprive people of their dues. Look, subhanAllah, even if he or she is an enemy, Allah says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Don't let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just, that is nearer to righteousness. And think about Ali ibn Abi Talib's carefully chosen words when he was asked to describe the Khawarij, a rebel group that warred against him. They deemed him a disbeliever. They actually ended up claiming his life. So when you say enemy, that's an enemy. And they asked him, are they disbelievers, O leader of the believers? So this was his opportunity. He said, they did what they did in an attempt to flee from disbelief. No, they're not kuffar. So they said, are they hypocrites? He said that hypocrites don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently, but they do. So no, we can't call them hypocrites either. So they said to him, so what are they? What are the Khawarij, the rebel groups? He said, ikhwanuna, they are our brothers. Baghaw alayna, who transgressed against us. So we fought them because of that. That is amazing. Do not deprive people of their dues, even if this person happens to be an enemy. So Ali radiallahu anhu was at major odds with them. But this never tempted him to deprive them from their dues by dropping on them a label that was excessive. So that's example number one, depriving an enemy from their dues. Do not deprive people from their dues, even if he or she is an enemy. Number two, depriving the inheritor from their dues. Allahu Akbar, this is a tragically widespread practice amidst the Muslim communities of depriving females specifically from their rights of inheritance. And that is a sin which Imam al-Dhahabi, Imam ibn al-Qayyim and others have classified as major. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly demarcated who inherits what, down to the finest details. And then look at the verses which conclude the verses of inheritance. Look at how clear and unequivocal Allah was when he said, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will allow him to enter gardens beneath which rivers flow, to live there eternally. That is the greatest achievement. Then he said, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and transgresses His limits, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, He will take him to fire to abide eternally therein. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, will have a humiliating punishment. Look at how stern these verses were, concluding the verses that speak about who is to receive what with respect to inheritance. So that's example number two. Do not deprive people of their dues. This includes inheritance. Number three, depriving the people of khayr from their dues. Depriving the people of goodness. What do you make of those who, when the people of virtue and knowledge and service to Islam and Dawah, they make a mistake to then tear down their track record of goodness, and they just forget their lifetime worth of sacrifice and giving. These are oppressors who have not given people their dues. It's a mistake. It's an error. It's a slip up. You then remove everything that he's done in the past because of that. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, one of the key students of Umar, he said, لَيْسَ مِنْ عَالِمٍ وَلَا شَرِيفٍ وَلَا ذُو فَضْلٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ عَيْبٌ وَلَكِنْ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ لَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ تُذْكَرَ عُيُوبُهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَضْلُهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ نَقْصِهِ ذَهَبَ نَقْصُهُ لِفَضْلِهِ. He said, there is no scholar or any person of honor and virtue except that they have faults. However, some people's faults should never be mentioned. Those whose virtue is superior to their faults, their virtue expels their faults. It's balanced and nuanced approach, instead of the black and white mechanical approach we see today. Muhammad ibn Sirin, another tabi'i, what does he say? And I'm reading the Arabic because of the beauty and the eloquence and the expressiveness of their terms. He said, ظُلْمٌ لِأَخِيكَ أَن تَذْكُرَ مِنْهُ أَسْوَأَ مَا تَعْلَمْ وَتَكْتُمْ خَيْرَهُ ثُمَّ تَلَى وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. To make mention of the worst of what you know of your brother, whilst remaining quiet on the best of what you know of him, is oppression. Then he recited the verse which we are speaking about now, when he said, when Allah said, do not deprive people of their dues. So it's a principle. And Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he said, مِنْ قَوَاعِدِ الشَّرْعِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ أَيْضًا أَنَّ مَنْ كَثُرَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ وَعَظُمَتْ كَانَ لَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ تَأْثِيرٌ ظَاهِرٌ فَإِنَّهُ يُحْتَمَلُ لَهُ مَا لَا يُحْتَمَلُ لِغَيْرِهِ وَيُعْفَ عَنْهُ مَا لَا يُعْفَ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ. He says, one of the principles of both Islam and wisdom is that a person whose good doings are so many and enormous and has clear contributions towards Islam, then such a person's mistakes are to be tolerated far more than those of others and is to be excused in ways that others are not. Look at Imam Ibn Khuzaymah. You know who he is. He discussed a few theological matters, not fiqh matters, aqidah matters, which the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah have denounced. But then look at the approach of Imam al-Dhahabi when addressing this mistake. It was an approach of do not deprive people of their dues. And he said, listen, wal ibn Khuzaymah azamatun fi nufusi wa jalalatun fi qulubi li'ilmihi wa dinihi wa ittiba'ihi sunnah. He said, Ibn Khuzaymah is held at a very high esteem within the hearts due to his knowledge and his religion and his adherence to the sunnah. Then he said, making an excuse for the imam, he said, لو أن كل من أخطأ في اجتهاده مع صحة إيمانه وتوخيه لاتباع الحق أهدرناه وبدعناه لقل من يسلم من الأئمة. He says, if we were to then nullify the goodness of a person and deem him an innovator because of a mistake, despite this person's iman and genuine desire to reach the truth, underline that, then we would end up not sparing a single imam. He said, may Allah have mercy upon us all. So this display of justice and giving people their dues is almost non-existent in modern day refutations, where the entire track record of the victim is demolished. And had you just erased the name, you think that we are speaking about someone who is an enemy and an adversary of Allah and His Messenger. Ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, same thing. He also had certain beliefs, not fiqh matters, beliefs that contradicted the mainstream Sunni Islam. But again, look at how Imam al-Dhahabi addresses it, brothers and sisters. We want to learn from this methodology, this manhaj. He said, كلما أخطأ الإمام في اجتهاده في أحد المسائل خطأ مغفورا له قمنا عليه وبدعناه وهجرناه لما سلم معنا لابن نصر ولا ابن منده. He says, if every time an imam makes a forgivable mistake in ijtihad, in isolated cases, we then classify him an innovator, we boycott him, then we would be left with no one. We would not be left, he said, with Ibn Nasr, nor Ibn Mandah, nor any scholar who is greater than them both. He says, and Allah is the one who guides His creation to the truth, and He is the most merciful. He concludes, so we seek refuge in Allah from hawa, inner desire and harshness. This is the problem. We seek refuge in Allah from inner desire. There's a problem here. And harshness. So these are phenomenal displays of rendering people their dues, even if you are at odds with them in certain matters. Now, how different was their approach to some of us today who consider themselves as the sole vanguards of the Sunnah? And as for others who are not identical to them with respect to the books they read, the teachers they study from, the harshest of labels are given to them and subjected to backstabbing and mockery, even if they give it other justifications. Look, the burden of da'wah, right, can't be carried by any one carrier or group. Nor is the truth in its entirety found exclusively within your circle. Nor will the answers which the contemporary setting of Muslims require to be found amidst any one group. It's not how it works. Mutual cooperation between us upon the conditions of birr, righteousness, and taqwa, piety. That's not just ideal. That's an obligation. And distance yourself from all those who argue otherwise. Be fully aware that the young and the untrained and rash and colorblind approach to the mistakes of Muslims, or worse, your misunderstanding of their opinions, it's not even a mistake sometimes, it's just our misunderstanding, that will eventually cost you yourself. And you will regret every second of it. Wow. And Imam al-Dhahabi, he said, speaking about the particular narrator and why he is deemed unreliable, he said, كان يستخف بالأئمة. He used to belittle the imams. وَهَكَذَا سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ مَنْ إِزْدَرَى بِالْعُلَمَاءِ بَقِيَ حَقِيرًا. He said, this is the way of Allah. With respect to any individual who mocks the scholars, he remains pathetic. He will remain pathetic. So desperate is our situation as individuals and communities for a holistic retreat to the shade of this Quranic principle. the principle that says, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Do not deprive people of their dues.
وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنزِيلًا.